Hello, my friends. I'm Bill McLaughlin. Welcome to St. Paul Sunday.
St. Paul Sunday is produced by Minnesota Public Radio and made possible by a major grant from the Minnesota-based General Mills Foundation, supporting excellence in education, human services, and the arts. Additional funding has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and by this Public Radio International station. Join us today with our guest, The King's Noise.
Mon Dieu, la belle entrée is his music celebrating the glorious entry into Paris by King Henry IV, the first of the Bourbon kings. He made his arrival on March 22, 1594. He'd actually been king of France for 4 years before that, after his predecessor, Henry III, had been murdered. And some years later, he himself would be murdered, but for now, this was his day. The reason he hadn't been able to get into Paris during those 4 years was that he was Protestant, he was Huguenot, and there was enough to deny him the claim. So funny, took a deep breath and said to himself, Paris is well worth a mass, converted to Catholicism and marched into Paris in great glory. As you can see, we're going to get a great history lesson today, and as well as some glorious music making. And I want to introduce you now to the cast of characters we've been listening to and the musicians and singer who will tell us this story. We have with us the King's Noise, which is a violin band. And I should remind you that Noise is spelled N-O-Y-S-E. It's inventor, director, and the redoubtable first violinist is David Douglas. It's great to see you back.
Great to be back, Phil.
We have Robert Neely on violin. Great to see you again, Robert.
Good to be here.
Scott Metcalf is playing viola. And Marguerite Tindemans.
Hello.
Great to have you back. Emily Wahab is playing the bass violin, which looks to me almost the size of a cello, is it?
It's actually a little larger than your normal size cello.
Mm-hmm.
And deeper.
Yeah. We'll be hearing that. And then we have two guest artists with us today. Paul Odette, who is head of early music at the Easton School of Music. It's great to have you back in, Paul.
Good to be here.
And we have Ellen Hargis, a marvelous soprano, who's been with the show many times. Great to see you again, Ellen.
Thanks, Bill.
Tell us a little bit about what we just heard, the ensemble, to begin with. It sounds almost like a ballad accompanied by this slightly polyphonic violin band.
That's exactly what it is, Phil. What drew me to this repertoire in the first place was the fact that the instruments that we play are copies of instruments that were made for Charles IX by Andrea Amati, and so I was interested in coming up with a program that would reflect music that those instruments might have played. In the process of researching that program, and I discovered the work of Kate Van Orden, and discovered the repertoire called the Voix de Ville repertoire, which is very much like the English ballad. Broadsides or books of music, text published with text to be sung and played to the tune of another dance or song. And this political text, many other political texts, as well as just like the English ballads, other morality issues and plays and other just good time music are contained in these volumes. And it was a whole new repertoire for us.
Kate Van Orden is a musicologist at Berkeley whose specialty has been this period. She's done some phenomenal work.
Even that's right.
Somebody outside the area can appreciate it. Well, let's get to some music now. You have a set of pieces by two different composers. What do you want to play, David?
Well, we're going to play a couple of pieces by the composer Claude Lejeune, and then three dances published by Pierre Falaise and popular at the court. Thank you.
This is music from mid and late 16th century France, music of Claude Lejeune. We heard a couple of pieces, including a beautifully sung ballad by Ellen Hargis, as was Je suis de Sérité, and then some dance pieces by Pierre Falaise. First music was by Claude Lejeune. The ensemble accompanying and playing this music was the violin band called King's Noise, joined by Paul Audet on lute. And one of the things I'm remarking is that the latter composer, Pierre Falaise, who was born in Louvain, was a member of a printing family. And this was very interesting because it's not very far back from this period to Gutenberg and the first printing at all. And now there had been a man called Suzzato, wasn't there, who started a printing firm in Antwerp. And then somehow I understand that this composer, Falaise, took over in some way from him.
That's right. Eventually, he worked actually with Suzzato to begin with, and then took over and then formed his own dynasty, which is something that actually a lot of the printers did. Ballard, Playford, they formed their own family companies that sort of carried on the business.
The reason that's so important was what David was alluding to. David Douglas, with whom I'm speaking now, is the leader of King's Noise. You were saying before that this was largely an oral tradition. People learned it by ear. They learned it from an apprenticeship nature. You would go and study with the teacher who showed you the tunes. He played them and you imitated. Now we're first getting this glimpse back into time, which you're giving us, because they wrote some of it down and even printed it, so we have copies of the music. That's what's phenomenal about this experience.
That's right. It's one of the only, it's lucky that we have that, so that we do have a window into what the professional musician world did at that time.
One of the things I was noticing with between you, David, and Scott, as playing the viola, is that one spot as you changed from major to minor between the last two pieces that felt to me very much as if you were improvising. Was it true?
Well, yeah, there's not very much written down in this. There's just the melody and a chord structure, basically, so everything else is just what we came up with.
I love that, the two of you did it. And it felt just a little bluesy, too, as you took it into G minor.
That's right.
Let's hear some more music. And in fact, in this, we're going to get to hear a couple of times from Ellen Hargis as well. What's this next set?
Well, this next piece is a ballad, very much like an English ballad. Again, it's a text, Ton Amour Ma Maîtresse. Mm-hmm. Which Ellen will say much better than I just did.
And, but ahead, give it a shot, Ellen. We want to hear it.
Ton amour, ma maîtresse.
Now, isn't that great?
Makes all the difference for me.
Yeah. It's what got me into this music in the first place.
But, I should say this is husband and wife, just in case you're hearing giggles from this sideline. Okay, let's go. So we're going to have this beautiful piece sung by Ellen, and then...
Right, and then Battle Pavin and Gallia, which is actually an imitation of another piece by Claude Jennikin. Mm-hmm. And then one more ballad, the story of Venus and Adonis.
Is this ballad actually, Laissez la verte couleur, was an immensely popular poem at this time. There are, I think I've counted, the longest version I've seen has 31 strophes of poetry about Venus. And it basically starts when she finds him dead. So 31 strophes about what he looked like and what she went through and what happened after that with his blood turning, staining the flowers red.
Okay, here's a set of 16th century pieces from France. King's Noise, Ellen Hargis is the soprano. Thank you. that's a stunning piece. We've just heard soprano Ellen Hargis sing of, she's taking the part of Venus, she's telling us of the death of Adonis. Beautiful music from 16th century France. In this performance, she was accompanied by Paul Odet, who was playing the lute, and the violin band, King's Noise. Well, I have to say for this piece, you very wisely made it mostly a viola band, because Robert Mille, you put down your fiddle, picked up a viola.
The larger thing, the darker thing.
Yeah, the darker hued viola accompanies, that made the three of you then playing viola underneath Ellen singing. Boy, what a beautiful piece that is. You know, and it's funny because in this piece you hear something that's, I can't say that it's modern. I can say that it's still done today. It was modern perhaps in the 16th century. Simple melody, this kind of monody, this beautiful line accompanied by polyphonic parts. In a funny kind of way, I can imagine someone like Edith Piaf singing this very same song. She has so many laments, and this simple, the French language is very good at this. It must be great fun to sing in French.
Oh, it's wonderful. And I love the fact that this is a major melody, and a tremendously poignant story, and beautiful descriptions of nature and death together in the poem, and a rather sweet melody, which makes it all the more touching.
Yeah, lovely. We've been listening to music from 16th century France played by King's Noise today. David Douglas is the director, and I'm wondering whether you've recorded this. Have you recorded, for example, that last song that Ellen sang?
That last song that we just played was the only piece that we haven't recorded yet. That's going to be the centerpiece of one of our next CDs for Harmonia Mundi USA. But the rest of these pieces are from our latest release called Le Jardin de Mélodie, music from the court of Charles IX.
So that's on Harmonia Mundi. Folks, if you're having trouble finding this sort of record at your local record shop, it's always good to check there just because they're nice folks, I'm sure. But we have a way to get at it. You can call us at the Public Radio Music Source, and the number is 1-800-75-MUSIC. And all profits from that go to support public radio, which is another nice thing. I should say we're with King's Noise today. I'm Bill McLaughlin, and you're tuned to St. Paul Sunday. So we've had music so far from a very tumultuous period in French history, the time of the Reformation and Counter-Reformation. Let's go across to a little calmer time, I guess, or at least across the channel, to England.
Yes, we merely have fires and floods and pestilence and plague.
Actually, there's a Puritan revolution in here somewhere, so I guess what we're going to do, though, is move across the channel and pick up some English music from early 17th century, and this is sort of it seems to me that this music must have been what drew you to form the fiddle band in the first place.
It's actually one of them. We ended up gravitating a lot towards England and the ballad repertoire simply because it's so good for us, and we enjoy doing it so much. But there's a lot of wonderful repertoire for violin bands in the Renaissance.
What are we going to have now?
Well, we're going to play a selection of country dance tunes from England in the 17th century. Country dance tunes were often used as vehicles for ballad texts, and so that's why we connect them often to English ballads. And so before we get to some English ballads, I thought maybe you'd like to hear a few wonderful country dances. First of all, The Happy Meeting, and then The Emperor of the Moon.
Here's David Douglas with his band called King's Noise.
Thank you.
To say, you guys are a trip to watch. I mean, wonderful to hear, but let me see if I can describe this a little bit. First of all, I should say these are 17th century English ballad tunes played by the violin band called King's Noise, joined by Paul Odette, who was strumming away, not on the lute there, but on the cithern on that. But let me just describe the picture for you at home of these five bowed instruments. We're going to start with Emily Wahl, who is playing this instrument. Looks like a very large cello. She's actually standing while she's playing it. This is Woody Allen's dream to play the cello. And she's got it propped up on a Steinway piano bench to make it the right height to get to. Meanwhile, we've got the two violists in the center who have very large instruments tucked under their chins. And over here on the my left and your left as you're hearing it are the two fiddle players who look like the most casual lads I ever walked in off the street. I won't get into the description of how casual their clothing is, but it's nice thing. This is radio and not television. And you got your fiddles not tucked up under your chin like Itzhak Perlman or Pinky, but just sort of so casually, it's not even on your shoulder. It's just against your chest, and you're just kind of feeling, and they're all tapping their feet like fools. You know, there's people that try to do this at Renaissance fairs around the country. Some of them are actually pretty clever. Uh-huh. This is the original. No. These are the real ones. Yeah. How can you look so, number one, at ease, and secondly, as if you're having so much fun when you're playing this music?
We work very hard at it.
It's just all part of the music, I suppose, and when you finally start getting into it, that's what happens.
Yeah, but there's a quality of relaxation that comes from this playing. You don't have to play as high as we play on the modern violin. You can't play Sibelius Concerto with the fiddle down in the middle of your chest. You've got to get it up there, and also the fingerboard is shorter. A lot of things are different from the modern fiddle.
That's right.
But this has a wonderful clarity. It's so immediate, the way this all sounds.
Right. Well, part of putting the violin down that low actually helps to give it that much clarity and impact, I think, and it makes it a really good instrument to dance to.
Yeah. Let's hear some more of that. We have a final set now, more English tunes, and we're going to involve, once again, the wonderful soprano, Ellen Hargis. What will we have?
Well, we're going to start with probably the most well-known English ballad there is now, Barbara Allen's Cruelty. It's amazing. I've yet to find someone who doesn't know this tune. Mm. Which tells the story of Barbara Allen. And then after that, a tune called Strawberries and Cream. Then one called Half Hannikin. And then we're ending with an advertisement for non-commercial radio. It's a 17th century advertisement for a drink called Nottingham Ale.
Here's King's Noise with Ellen Hargis.
Oh,
Before she died. When these the goddess of beauty had long arose from the coast and swam on the sea, Minerva sprang out of the cranium of Jove, a goddess full of name as all powers agree. But spoke of her love, but drink of her love, was Jupiter's son, his head for night here. For a little of Jupiter, besieged by some error, he turned from a barrel of nothing of mail.
Fricks, the world's probably first singing commercial. Nottingham Ale. We just heard a set of four English ballads, 17th century ballads, given us by King's Noise. That was Ellen Hargis, the soprano, and Paul Odette was mostly playing cittern on that. Ooh, those incredible weird notes you played there. What was the line? I couldn't... And what was it, Ellen, that you sang just before that provoked him to do this?
Oh, yes, the doctors have forbidden us to drink till our bodies consume and our faces grow pale.
Oh, I see. That is kind of icy. What great fun the bunch of you are. We've been making the show today. We started with actually relatively serious music from France during the 16th century, a time of great political conflict, and heard both happy music and some rather serious music. And now this set of English ballads.
We tend to degenerate as time goes on.
Actually, it's sort of a recipe for a nice dinner or a good concert.
That's right.
You can start formally because it's hard to go back there.
Yeah, that's right.
Once you've let go.
Wonderful program today. Let me give you once again the members' names. David Douglas and Robert Mealy are the two violinists. Scott Metcalf and Marguerite Tindemans, the two violists. Emily Walhaut was playing bass violin. Paul Odette was going back and forth between lute and cittern, and Ellen Hargis, our soprano. How nice to see the bunch of you again. You all sound so great. I mean, I've known you now for some years, and it keeps getting better and better.
Well, thanks.
So come back again when you get another hot idea, which I'm sure will be another year or so, because David Douglas, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, has the all-time record for the highest number of appearances on the show. So I'll see you soon, David. The rest of you, see you as soon as you can all make it back. Hope you folks have enjoyed it. Drop us a line. You can get to us by email. Our address is sunday@mpr.org. That's M as in Minnesota, PR.org. Or you can drop us regular postal mail. That's St. Paul Sunday, care of Minnesota Public Radio, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55101. Be sure to stay tuned, folks. There's more great stuff coming up, and we'll be back here next week with St. Paul Sunday.
St. Paul Sunday is made possible by a major grant from the Minnesota-based General Mills Foundation, supporting excellence in education, human services, and the arts. Additional funding has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and by this Public Radio International station. St. Paul Sunday is produced by Minnesota Public Radio in the Maud Moon Weyerhaeuser Music Studio. Your host for the series is Bill McLaughlin. The senior producer is Mary Lee. The music producer is Steve Barnett. And the associate producer is Vaughn Ormseth. The engineer is Alan Strickland, and the production engineer is Michael DeMarc. The St. Paul Sunday website is produced by Nancy Blakestead. This is Marianne Sullivan.
You've been listening to the music of Erich Wolfgang Korngold as performed by Gilscher Hamm, one of the selections on St. Paul Sunday's newest compact disc, Mixed Company. Visit our website at stpaulsunday.org to order your copy of Mixed Company, Music from St. Paul Sunday. This recording includes performances of Gilscher Hamm, the Emerson String Quartet, and many more, all recorded for this program and many not available elsewhere. And don't forget, your purchase of this recording helps support your station and St. Paul Sunday. Order your copy of Mixed Company from the St. Paul Sunday website, stpaulsunday.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.